In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. In some parts of South Africa, farmers are frequently plagued by monkeys who destroy their corn crops in a very intentional, yet in a foolish way. These particular monkeys walk along the row of the rows of corn and reap off a corn cob, place it under one arm, and then proceed to the next corn plant. Again, they will rip its cob off, and this one they will place under the other arm. But they are not content with the two cobs they already have under their arms. They want more. And so they continue with their task at ripping off cobs and placing them under their arms, only to lose the one or those that they have already tucked away. We can just imagine the chaos these monkeys leave behind with all the cobs lying scattered on the field. And for what? Are we humans not sometimes like these monkeys? Focusing on accumulating wealth when we know we can never keep it. For one thing, our riches will not bring us eternal life. One day we will die and leave everything behind. Not only are we discontent most of the time and not sure if we, you know, whether we have enough, gather enough, but when we actually think we have enough, we seem to let out a sigh of relief and kind of a sense of accomplishment. In that anxious effort, focusing on finding peace of mind and security in our possessions and thinking we have found it, we lose sight of the bigger picture. The Lord is the provider of everything we have. And for that reason, He is the one we should focus on. With our eyes on Him, everything else will fall into the right place. Now, let's say then that the field before us offers a rich harvest, whatever your field may be. The question is, how are we to deal with it in our lives? Our gospel reading from Luke chapter 12 offers some answers. It's true, the field offers rich harvest. But let's not forget God. The field offers rich harvest, but let's not forget God. Our gospel reading begins with a dispute over inheritance. And right away, Jesus dismisses the role to serve as judge and arbiter in this case. His role in this world is to build his spiritual reign. That's why he says in verse 15, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession." One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. From what does a human being live? This verse does not say we may not have an abundance of possessions. Certainly, throughout the Gospel of Luke, we see a criticism of the rich and wealthy. And that criticism is also in the background of the parable of the rich fool that Jesus tells us in verses 16 to 21, right after that dispute over inheritance. So what are we to do when our field yields a rich harvest? Whatever our field may be. So this parable does not say that we may not have an abundance of possessions. In fact, even if someone were to abandon all his possessions, that alone would not satisfy Jesus' demands. This parable has no intentions to give us a bad conscience over a good yield of crop or a successful increase in possessions. To produce good crops, agriculture today has so many complex factors, such as the use of modern machines, fertilizer, transportation, and storage. A lot of activity and time is needed to keep such a business going. Just to sit back and let nature do its thing once the seed has been planted will simply not guarantee a good crop. And it is a proper Christian thing for us to thank all those involved in bringing food to our table by producing a surplus of crops beyond of what the farmer needs for himself. This equally applies to other sectors of the economy, where individuals work hard to make a good living for themselves and for others. Another aspect important to note is that Jesus is not rejecting the task of tearing, old and small barns in order to build bigger ones. To meet the needs of the population in this country and around the world, we need bigger sites, cooling rooms, larger transportation. This reminds us of the story of Joseph in Egypt, who, when he was there, he took a similar approach to avoid the lean years ahead that God had warned him that was coming. The rich fool in the parable act in a similar way, and it would be unimaginable for a country not to manage and plan its economy in such a way that it can meet the potential strains of the future times. Well, why then is the rich man called a fool? He lives in false security. In what way, though, since one could admire his careful planning? Well, not every farmer has the resources to tear down his barns and build bigger ones. His road to success and wealth must be attributed to his good judgment and willingness to act fast. He is what, one would expect of a good manager of a company, someone who looks ahead and plans accordingly. Yet the rich man was a fool because he did not consider all factors. He forgot something very, very important. He left out of the equation him from whom he receives his life and to whom that life belongs. That's why his calculations of the many future years of easy living was a mere economical reasoning based on the crops he is stored. His reasoning forgot to include God and how quickly he can lose all those years that he thought he would have. This night your soul is required of you, verse 20 says. At this point in time, this rich man's life is not on all the things he has stored. The rich man's life is in the hands of God. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. These are the activities of many rich, and they are the dreams of many others. But it's all about me. The rich fool shows that by leading a monologue. I will say to my soul, so you have ample goods laid for many years. His thoughts and plans relate to himself alone and his material possessions. He does not look beyond the rich yield of crops to see that there is someone who gives it all to him as a gift. Does he officially reject God or deny his existence? We don't know that. The reading, the parable, doesn't tell us that. However, it does show how easily and quickly God can be left out of the picture. Let us be warned not to think of our length and quality of lives only in material terms. Behind our possessions is a loving God who is dearly concerned about his creation and provides and cares for it. The rich man is a fool because he does not see life as a gift from God. Also, the rich man has no expectations for a life beyond death. In other words, taking life easy, eating, drinking, and being merry are all enjoyments that he thinks are of this world. He could have taken a big picture perspective, thinking that these are all the wonderful things he will one day enjoy in heaven, in an eternal life with God. The farming activity explained in this parable speaks not only for agriculture, but for all areas of industry and economy. Everywhere we look, workers make use of stones, metals, chemicals, and they all come from God. And so the lesson to be learned is that not the goods as such keep us alive, but God does it through these very goods. Even the laborers on the field and in the industry serve as God's agents in his creation. They serve as channels of God's goodness through their vocation. Therefore, when it comes to leading a monologue with ourselves about what we are to do with our earthly possessions, we are already heading in the wrong direction. The monologue must turn into a dialogue, a conversation with God that thanks and praises him for what we receive from him. Once we realize that, our life expresses the relationship that it was intended by him. All things that we formerly look at as simple material things are now seen as gifts from a loving God. It ended so tragically for the rich man in the parable. And Jesus says in verse 21, "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The true purpose of life is to be rich toward God. But what does that mean? It could mean that we should rid ourselves of all of our possessions by selling them and giving what we made to the poor, especially if they come between you and God. Wealth can come between God, between you and God, and become like an insulation sheet that prevents us from turning to God, from trusting in him and trusting to the things. However, Jesus is not insisting on that line of thought in our parable, even though he has talked about that in other portions of the Gospel of Luke. What Jesus warns is against the clinging to belongings and consequently displaying all kinds of greed because of that. Jesus appeals to the goodwill, the love, the freedom of all his individual disciples. Thus, the rich man should relate his life to the needs of his neighbor and, of course, to God. Being rich toward God is to open our heart to God and let him into our calculations about the future. And it also means that we take our neighbor seriously. So much so that we work toward helping others who are in need, even if it's on the other side of the world. It is not good to think only about ourselves and our destiny, and to fail to connect it to God and to our neighbors. Being rich toward God also implies that we factor in the possibility of death. We should be prepared for death every day of our lives. To think about life and earthly possessions like the rich man, apart from God and apart from death, is not being rich toward God. That's the bold message of our gospel reading today. What seemed to ensure life, that is, the earthly possessions, suddenly become meaningless after death. Life is not built on food and drink alone. Suddenly God appears and he speaks directly to the rich man. And then what? And then what for us? When we stand naked before God, stripped bare of any possible trust in any of those earthly things we hold so dear, then what? Then there is for us the one who, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Became poor, stripped naked on a cross, that we would be rich in much more than earthly possessions. By Jesus' death, you have the eternal riches of heaven. We do not live by bread alone, like we sang earlier in the service. To be rich toward God means that we are aware of our dependency on God in all aspects of life, and that we cannot live an autonomous life away from him. Being rich toward God means we recognize God as the provider of all of our possessions and all our needs. Reaching God means to turn to him in times of wealth and in times of need, especially in our salvation. To be reaching God is to know that in him we find mercy through the death and resurrection of his son Jesus. To be reached toward God means that instead of a monologue, we are invited to a dialogue. A dialogue, a conversation, a sincere prayer of thanksgiving and praise to our dear, loving God that provides everything we need. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.